Well, good evening. Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of Daniel Estulin. And this is a fascinating story, the true story of the Bilderberger Group. And Daniel's been investigating the Bilderbergers for 15 to 18 years. Daniel, are you there?
How are you? So wonderful to be on your show.
Well, thank you so very much for being with us. And how long have you been following up and investigating the Bilderbergers?
Officially since, or unofficially since 1992, but officially since 1995. So I have been following them for about a decade or so.
All right, fine. It's a fascinating story, fascinating work, and of course it's really rather dangerous because here, well, why don't you tell our listeners who the Bilderbergers are and of course what their goal and objectives are?
Well, first of all, I'd like to tell you what they're not. They're not a Jewish Masonic conspiracy, for as much as some people out there would like us to believe. They're also not an Illuminati conspiracy, whatever the heck that is. And most importantly, Bilderberg is not a monolith, meaning that no group of powerful people, no matter how powerful they are, sit in a room holding hands, staring at a crystal ball, deciding our future. All the, you know, nutball stuff is what you see on the internet, and unfortunately, most or none of it is true. All of it is based on very fragile logic and not backed up by any concrete or hard evidence. What Bilderberg is, it's a combination of American, North American, and European elites working together. It's what I call the aristocracy of purpose.
In other words, they are basically an aristocratic group that really sort of really run the United States, Canada, and Europe.
Well, basically, what Bilderberg, every president of Europe, United States, and Canada is a member of the Bilderberg elite. The United States president doesn't necessarily need to go. In fact, he wouldn't be able to go because every minute of his time is accounted for. But he's also always well represented by other people such as Richard Pearl, Douglas Fife, Holbrooke, et cetera, et cetera. Every central banker of Europe is there as well, the president of the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the Federal Reserve. All of European royalty is there as well. Top 100 CEOs of the leading corporations such as Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, Microsoft, Halliburton, they're there as well. And with all these important people at the same table, sit representatives of the media elite, such as the New York Times, Washington Post, Le Monde, Le Figaro, Grupo Prisa from Spain. All in all, it's about 120, 130 members who come to annual Bilderberger meetings. 50, 60 of them are regulars, meaning they've been coming for decades, such as Zbigniew Brzezinski, Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller. And then 50, 40, 50 of them get invited as possible candidates to help out in their cause, which is the creation of one world government.
And so basically they are dedicated really to doing away with national sovereignty and bring about a one world government. But would they be the ones who dominated this world, one world government?
Well, what do you mean, would they be the ones dominating?
Well,
the
in other words,
government?
Would they be the ones who would be the ones controlling the people who run the world government?
Well, I think everybody knows that in the end, you know, presidents and prime ministers don't really control very, very much. It's, you know, I always use the example, the metaphor of Wizard of Oz and the man behind the curtain. Until we find that man behind the curtain, we don't really know who runs the show. What I've done in my book is I uncovered these men, plural, behind the curtain who run the show with names and faces. And in the end, again, governments don't rule. In Europe, the European Parliament is just a debating society. The powers with the money elite, which is the European Central Bank. The same goes for England. You know, the power is with the Queen's Treasury and the United States. Of course, the power is with the corporations and the Federal Reserve. Again, these are the people, the Bilderbergers, the North American, the European aristocracy, who will be and who are running the show from behind the scenes.
All right, you hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Daniel here at Radio Liberty. And so, basically, we're talking about a shadowy group that meets on a regular basis every year. It has been for, well, I guess it's well over 50 years now, isn't it?
Well, they met for the first time in 1954, and they've been doing this annually since 1954. A couple of times they met twice in 1 year, but basically it's an annual conference, 3-4 days, meeting somewhere in late May, early June, 3 days, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, where they discuss a number of issues. But again, if we think of Bilderberg, there are two things which need to be understood. First of all, it's a money thing. And second of all, money without the energy supplies ultimately becomes worthless. So right now, especially over the last 25 years or so, the Bilderbergers have been controlling not only the money, but also discussing in all of their conferences the energy supplies of the world as the number one point, which only goes to show you how much importance they place on the energy reserves for their future survival.
One of the things that was rather interesting about your book was the fact that you pointed out that certainly there's been a move for many years to prevent Russia from becoming a major force in the world, and you trace this back to the time of the Russian Revolution, and of course by destroying Russia's economic potential by bringing communism there, why the United States and Europe could be the dominant industrial forces in the world. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, it is, and not only that, but again, they tried the same thing in the 1990s with loans for shares, which they orchestrated in Russia, by destroying the entire country, by putting, you know, a character such as Yeltsin and controlling Yeltsin, who sold the entire country to the Western interests. They tried to debilitate it and destroy Russia. And again, Russia is about energy, and they needed Russia's energy for their own personal supplies. So again, what I talk about in the book, all the way going back to the Russian Revolution, again, it has manifested itself throughout the 20th century with the, loans for shares in the 1990s during the whole wholesale destruction of Russia as another example of what these people do.
And so basically what they would do would be to actually prevent Russia from being industrially developed. Did they do the same thing with China, do you think?
Well, absolutely. The way things are, especially based on something that Henry Kissinger said, I think it was 3 years ago, in the Bilderberg conference in Stresa in Italy, you know, they were talking about the energy supplies. They said, well, we have about 40 years of oil left. And then Kissinger broke in and said, yeah, but, you know, that's, if we take into consideration the fact that the Chinese and the Indians, you know, are growing 9-10% a year, we're going to slash that down in half. So we have 20 years of energy supplies. So again, for them to somehow maintain control over the energy supplies, they need one way or another to destroy China and destroy India.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Daniel Estulin. He's written a book called The Bilderberger Group, The True Story of the Bilderberger Group, which we will be carrying to Radio Liberty because we think it's an important issue. And Daniel's been studying this since 1992, but already almost full-time since 1995, and his book is certainly very well-known. Has this book been actually published over in Europe as well?
Well, it was published first in Europe, and now we can brought it to the United States. It is an international runaway bestseller. It has been sold in 48 countries, translated into 28 languages. We've sold over 1.5 million copies of this book before it came to the United States. No big publisher in America would touch this book. We've tried all the biggest publishers in the country. None of them would even return our phone calls. One big publisher was interested in publishing until they realized what I was talking about. Then, of course, they said no as well. It was quite an odyssey to get this book brought out in the United States. And again, considering the fact that, you know, it is the highest selling book in the history of nonfiction in Spain, with over 200,000 copies sold. It's unfathomable that nobody in the United States, in a country, the land of opportunities and capitalism, that nobody would want to bring this unless we understand that the men behind the curtain must control this flow of information and prevent it from coming out.
Well, of course, we've run into this repeatedly, that there really is control. In fact, as you point out in your book so well, up until, I think, maybe just this last year, after this organization started in 1954, there has never, for all intents and purposes, with rare exception, in the major media been any mention of the Bilderbergers until really very, very recently. For over 50 years, they have had such tight control over our media that they've been able to suppress any mention of this organization. Because isn't it true that the people who control most of the media in America actually belong or affiliated with the Bilderbergers?
Well, absolutely. Well, actually, what you said earlier, that there's been no mention of it at all, well, actually, there have been mentioned. The CNN has mentioned it. The Wall Street Journal has talked about it.
But that's only very recently, isn't it?
Very recently. And again, the media, they run cover for the Bilderbergers. So by writing these articles as a result of all the media unwanted attention I've placed on the Bilderbergers, what they were basically saying is, you see, it can't be all that important. It can't be all that secret, because if the Wall Street Journal or the CNN can actually put it on the primetime news, obviously it's all that secret, so thus all these other people are conspiracy nuts, which obviously that's not the case. Because unfortunately what, as you well know, the media has done in the United States is, you know, they've created the illusion that what's on television, what we see with our eyes is the truth, and what we can't see, this other reality, is obviously a manifestation of some conspiracy nut. And they will laugh in your face when you tell them that what they're seeing is just an illusion and it is not the truth. And there is another truth behind it, far more severe and far more deadly than anything they could imagine.
And, well, of course, your publisher here in the United States publishes books that all the rest of the major media will not put out. But now, one of the things, of course, in your book, you talk about a number of times when, of course, your life was in danger as you began to investigate this. And obviously, there were people who did not want this story brought out. Do you want to cover some of those instances?
Well, you know, it's what I would call jokingly an occupational hazard. In 1996, I discovered their plans to break Canada up into English and French-speaking Canada and then merge United States and Canada into one nation, something which was initially discussed as soon as when Reagan came into power in 1980.
Let me just explain to our listeners. What they wanted was to break Canada apart and have the French-speaking part of Canada one nation, and then the English-speaking part would merge with the United States. That was the plan that they were planning back in, what year was
exactly.
that?
That was 1996. That was right. A meeting held in Canada in King City, just north of Toronto. And we exposed their plans, and we let all the media, Canadian media, know what these people were up to. And they just couldn't keep the lid on it. All the media outlets in the country.
Now, this is in Canada, not in the United States, but in Canada.
In Canada, exactly, in 1996. You know, so they were forced to basically backtrack and start again. 11 years later, this whole thing of North American Union, which I'm sure we'll talk about later in the program, I mean, this is now a reality. So, again, when I discovered their plans and it was exposed, they tried to get rid of me. I almost walked into an elevator that was missing a floor. And one of the police officers, when I finally made my way down, wobbly and nervous and all, he said to me, you know, kid, you're lucky to be alive, because he said, a blind person would never walk into an elevator without first feeling for the floor, but us, we just, you know, we take it for granted that it's there, so when the doors open, it's the inertia that carries us down. So that's how mafia kills. When someone falls down the elevator chute, it's not like somebody pushes them, is that, you know, they fall themselves to their death. In 1998, excuse me, in 1998 they tried to bribe me, in 1999 to have me arrested, and so on and so forth, and eventually, you know, people said, well, you know, why don't you just take the money and go? And my question to you and to all your listeners is, you know, how much does freedom cost? How many zeros do you put on freedom, you know, because in the end, money or things that we can buy with it, these commodities, they're just perishable goods which only last so long. But what we are doing, you know, we're trying to pass this of our labor, you know, to the generations to come, because I think throughout history mankind has really, really always wanted to be just one thing, and that is free.
And of course, this is really what this battle is about. There is a small group of aristocrats who believe that they have the right to rule the rest of the world, and of course they do a pretty good job of that, because they control the wealth of the world and the industry and the media. But then, of course, there are people out there on the other side who've tried to get the information out, and I've lost a number of people I've actually interviewed here who've actually been killed and is professionally murdered. I've talked to three government assassins. They were employed by the government to kill people right here in the United States, and that's another subject. So certainly what Daniel is saying is not surprising to me at all. These people do not want to be exposed, and certainly they, because of the degree of control over the media, and certainly the Rockefellers played a large part in that, why they've kept at least until very recently in the United States, were information about this. I think what's so interesting, back in 1996, the Canadian media picked this story up pretty well, and here in America, even in 1996, it was fairly well blocked out.
Well, you know, this whole thing was emphasized to me, was brought home 5 days ago when I was coming into Canada from Europe on a flight to Canada to begin the first leg of my North American book promotion. I was stopped at the Canadian airport in Toronto by American security officers working through DynCorp. That's the private military contractors. And basically, these people were the ones who were deciding whether I, as a Canadian citizen, could be admitted into my country or not. You know, if that doesn't make sense, if that doesn't put it in perspective, I don't think anything will.
How did you manage to get through them? Because, of course, these are professional, they're professional mercenaries, professional killers. How did you get by them?
Well, you know, first of all, it's like, you know, they know who I am, I know what they do, and they also know that I know what they do. And in the end, you know, the idea wasn't to keep me out because, you know, it would just, you know, too many people are watching. You know what I mean? It's gotten to the point where it's no longer financially or economically feasible for them just, you know, make my life difficult because too many people know who I am and too many people are aware of what I do. And, I, unless they have, you know, or had something very definitive which they can accuse me of, it'd be just, you know, plain stupidity to try to keep me out of my country.
All right, fine. And you are today a Canadian citizen, aren't you?
I am a Canadian citizen. I'm an expatriate. I live in Europe, but I am a Canadian citizen with a Canadian passport, meaning that, you know, I have the right to enter my country as I wish. You know, when I was actually coming through the customs, they were asking me things like, you know, why are you coming to Canada? Well, because I'm a Canadian citizen and you don't really need to know. He said, well, we do because you don't live here. I said, I am a Canadian citizen, so I do what I said. No, actually, you don't. Of course, they were wrong, but I wasn't going to argue with them, so I told them, I'm coming to see my family. And that was that.
All right, fine. Well, of course, I think you've got an opportunity. You're going to be doing a nationwide tour, fortunately, with the backing of your publisher, Chris Milligan. Chris is a friend of ours, and we carry many of his books. But this is so intriguing. As you've actually tracked this organization year after year, and you and Jim Tucker, who's also a gentleman we've had the opportunity to interview many times, do you work fairly close with Jim Tucker?
Well, Jim and I have been covering these things. You know, he and I are always on the road covering the Bilderbergers. We have more or less, you know, the two-man punch because in the end, it's a fairly lonely occupation because people get scared, they get, you know, turned off or they get put off. It also costs money to go to these meetings. It costs money to follow up. And, you know, most people who do go, they're just the locals who happen to live in the area, just come for a couple of hours, snap some photographs, get shoot off by the security services, you know, and then just go away. And that's it, you know. But Jim and I have been covering these things for I don't know how many years now, over a decade. And, you know, we're very close as far as Bilderberg is concerned. You know, obviously we share the same, you know, aversion for one world government. And I think both he and I have genuine desire to be free and genuine desire, you know, to believe in the Constitution of the United States and, in my case, Constitution of Canada as the most important law in the land above government of crooked politicians.
Well, certainly, now, you are fortunate that you were able to develop a contact by somebody who actually attended the meetings. Were they risking their life to get the information to you?
Well, obviously they are. In fact, they are. You know, every time I get information from these people, I tremble at the thought that something might happen to them, because if they are found out, you know, as I explained in one of the stories in the book, the Bilderbergers had actually thought they figured out who one of my contacts were. And they said to me I was fortunate enough to get things right about what they talked about, because had I gotten it wrong, they would have for sure figured out who one of my contacts was. Luckily or fortunately for this individual, I'm not saying if it's a male or female, I got it right. And these people live, and they continue providing us with very valuable inside information on what these people do plan and talk about.
In other words, at least one of the people, or perhaps more than one, but several of the people there certainly
exactly
understand what this is about, and they want the information out, so they've agreed to give Daniel the information. And but, of course, it's really sort of a clandestine, you know, James Bond type of existence, you know, and having drops and various exchanges of information. We're dealing with some of the richest and most vicious people in the world. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, they want to control you and your future. Well, certainly, what are they saying about this war? Have you heard any rumors about how they feel about the war in Iraq? Are they happy the way things are going, or do they think it was a mistake?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Tierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Oil, and they're doing everything they can to provoke the violence, and they're using their agent provocateurs to actually to turn the Sunnis against the Shias and the Shias against the Sunnis, and to keep the violence going. After all,
well, that's only one part of it. If we go to northern Iraq, you know, the fact that the Kurds are fighting Excuse me. I've been talking all day, so my voice is really going.
Well, you're doing the best you can. You're doing fine. Go ahead.
Thanks. Around northern Iraq, around Mosul and Kirkuk, that's the area controlled by the Kurds. And the Kurds have been going at the Turks for a really long time now. The Turks have been withstanding that urge to, you know, to retaliate. But if we look at the map of Iraq, there are only two areas in all the country where we have large swaths of oil reserves, one in the south and one around Kirkuk. And this is exactly the other area of violence being provoked by these men behind the curtain. You know, the Kurds and the Turks, that's the next conflict. The Americans, the United Nations, the NATO alliance, the, you know, the peace forces, as they're called, will come in, they'll put an end to it and control the energy reserves of the area the same way they've done it in the south.
How about Iran? Do you think we're going to war with Iran, or have you heard anything from the Bilderbergers about the possibility of going into Iran so we can control their oil?
Well, you know, I'm going to go on a limb and say, oh, well, everybody's saying there's going to be a war in Iran. I'm going to go on a limb and say, no, there will not.
All right.
One very simple reason, you know, in the last Bilderberger meeting in Turkey, the European members, the, you know, the Russians, the French, and also the Chinese, who are not part of Bilderberg, but, you know, through extra official channels after the Bilderberger meeting and since then, they basically have drawn the line, in the, you know, the proverbial line in the sand, and they're saying Iran is off limits. You know, all of these nations, Russians, the Chinese, and the French, have a lot of money invested in Iran, and they will not let the men behind the curtain, through their American surrogates, to go into that war and to control Iranian natural resources, in this case, oil. There's blood in the water, and you know that when there's blood in the water, you know, it usually leads to a good fight. And if these guys are going to go into Iran, you're going to have a major armed conflict, and I wouldn't even rule out a nuclear war, and God forbid that, you know, we ever get that far.
Well, I just hope and pray that you're right and that my information is wrong. We'll just have to wait and see. But, I mean, I think going into Iran would be the worst possible thing that we could do. And it appears that at least some people in the administration are intent upon that. Now, is there a close relationship between the Bilderbergers and the current rulers of Russia and of China?
No. You know, they're natural enemies. And again, you could see that in Africa. For example, Africa is, you know, if you look at Putin, first of all, that whole thing with Litvinenko, which everybody knows about, Sasha Litvinenko, ex-KGB conspiracy nut who accused the KGB of everything, from 11th September being involved in the Mohammed cartoons to the 11th March train bombings in Madrid to so many other crimes. He was killed, you know, with polonium-210 in London. And, you know, the West, without any proof whatsoever, accused Putin of being a mad poisoner. Well, there's absolutely not one shred of proof that Putin had anything to do with it. If anything, all these other characters involved in the assassination, such as Lugovoy, they were linked, you know, to the people, such other Russian oligarchs linked to the American societies, linked to Rockefeller, et cetera, et cetera. So this whole thing, you know, the relationship between Bilderberg and Russia, they've been trying to destabilize Russia for a very, very long time. The plan is, if you can get rid of Putin and put another Yeltsin in his place and have him sell the entire country out again, and by debilitating Russia, you can push it out of its natural sphere of influence, which is ex-Soviet republics such as Chechnya, for example, you can get at their oil. People are saying, well, that's not what you think. In fact, that's not what I think. This is what Zbigniew Brzezinski said in his book, The Grand Chessboard. He said, but, you know, we need to debilitate Russia and push it out of its natural sphere of influence. You know, it doesn't do any good if you have, you know, the oil pipelines and oil reserves being explored by American companies in the area of ex-Soviet republics and have Soviet army forces stationed nearby. So, no, they do not have a good relationship.
All right, Chris, I think it's really interesting that poor old Litvinenko, who had been with the KGB and then had defected to London, is poisoned with polonium 20, which is great.
Well, you know, the whole thing about Litvinenko, he tried to run to the United States,
right?
But because he had nothing to offer, because he didn't know anything, Americans said, look, thanks, but no thanks. England, nevertheless, was, you know, willing to take him as is with his whole family and all his conspiracy baggage without asking for anything in return. You know what I mean? So that just goes to show you how little this man knew about anything of any value. And for Putin, you know, at the peak of his popularity with 85% of Russians supporting him and swimming in oil revenue, to kill him in such an insane way would be absolute madness.
And that's, of course, maybe Putin didn't do it. Maybe Maybe he was killed by some other intelligence service. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Daniel Estulin, and we're going to be talking about his book, The Bilderberger Group. And this is really a bestseller all over Europe. And, of course, none of the major publishers here in the United States would touch this with a 10-foot pole. Why? Because they're controlled. And if you want to keep your job in publishing, you do not put out anything about the Bilderbergers. And that's just the way the system is. Fortunately, Chris Milligan is a friend of ours. Triune Publishing has actually put this out. Now, what's the relationship between the Bilderbergers and the Trilateral Commission?
Well, actually, there's three organizations. You have the Bilderbergers, which is a smaller, more exclusive organization composed of or comprised of NATO alliance. It's about 125, 130 members who attend annually. Then you have the CFR, which is your Council of Foreign Relations, founded in the 1921. That's, you know, the American delegation, which is, you know, the equivalent of the Bilderberger Group, interlocked with Bilderberg. And then you have a much smaller trilateral commission, which is 325 members. That's Americas, Europe, and Asia. That's trilateral, which, you know, you could say the junior varsity to the Council of Foreign Relations. All of these three groups interact. They're interlocked. Some of the more important members, such as Brzezinski and Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller, belong to the three organizations. Some of the lesser important members belong maybe to one, the trilateral, the CFR, and they will not belong to the Bilderbergers. But again, you can just see how the decision-making process is influenced on each and every level by the most powerful people who go, you know, effortlessly from one position in the government to one foundation run by Rockefeller, to being a member of the board of Coca-Cola, to belonging to trilaterals, to the Bilderbergers, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's really leading this thing, but everybody participating, everybody working together. And again, you know, I can understand what these people are doing. I can understand it intellectually. What I can't understand is why don't we do something about it? Why aren't we, the people, aware of this thing? Why have we been so dumbed down to the point that we don't know anything beyond, you know, the size of Britney Spears' breasts or the latest, you know, God knows what video which they put on the YouTube?
Well, of course, what our job is to try to get people to realize that their future, their family, their freedom are at stake. And only really when people realize there's a problem that it is going to affect them, and that if they do not get involved, why, they tend to lose everything. Only then, I think, are we going to find the attitude of our people changing, and maybe they'll stop watching Britney so much. Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Daniel Estulin, and we're talking about his book, The True Story of the Bilderbergers. And certainly, do you have a web page at all? We will be carrying the book, but do you have a web page where people could go to get more information?
Absolutely. It's www.danielestulin.com. It's E-S-T-U-L-I-N, danielestulin.com, www.danielestulin.com.
And, of course, what will they find if they get there?
Well, what they will find is a very detailed, almost daily analysis of all the comings and goings of the latest information coming out there. I dissect the events, which at random may seem are not related, but when you actually start looking at it, you realize that war, terrorism, drugs, oil, you know, conflicts in Africa, all of these have the same background, and they're all very much related and very much run by the same people. And again, it's not a conspiracy. It's not a coincidence. It's just the way things work in the real world. If you want to know who does what to whom, you must understand how money works, what it can do for us, and also know who these proverbial men behind the curtain are. There's also a wealth of documents and photographs from many different Bilderberger meetings. There's daily updates of the news stories which I cover and uncover. And also it's done in two languages. It's in English, and also you have a Spanish page as well, which we also update daily.
All right, fine. So I think it's important that people understand that there is a power elite that really controls things behind the scenes, and the fact that we never hear about them simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. What's the relationship of Bill Clinton to the Bilderbergers?
Well, Bill Clinton is an interesting case. I mean, this is a man who doesn't believe in anything at all. He has no scruples. What he does is, he absolutely loves and adores power. He was invited for the first time to the Bilderberg Conference in 1991 in Baden-Baden. It was, 2 years before I began covering the Bilderbergers. My first conference was in 1993 in Greece. And there, David Rockefeller, asked him if he knew anything about NAFTA, with the North American Free Trade Agreement. Of course, Clinton, as the governor of Arkansas, a tiny little state, had no idea what NAFTA was. So David Rockefeller gave him a master class. And then he said to him, we want you to support it. And when Bill Clinton said, yes, of course, David, Rockefeller extended his hand and said, thank you, Mr. President. So, again, he attended in 1991. In 1992, becomes president of the United States. And the same could be said for so many other leaders. John Edwards, the former vice presidential candidate, with Kerry on the ticket, attended in 2004 at Stress in Italy, gave a wonderful address to the Bilderbergers on the state of Europe, of American union labor movement. Henry Kissinger, immediately after he finished his speech, picked up the telephone, called John Kerry, and he said, John, I think we found your vice presidential candidate, and needless to say, we know exactly what happened. And I can give you so many different examples from so many different characters, from, Tony Blair, also characters whose careers have been destroyed as a result of Bilderbergers, such as the case of Margaret Thatcher, and Jim Tucker talks about it, in his book and in his interviews. She was destroyed because she refused to hand the sovereignty of her country, Great Britain, to the power of, unelected bankers, as she called them. And we know what happened. They've orchestrated a coup d'etat within her own party. She was replaced by another Bilderberger poodle, John Major. And in turn, he was replaced by another Bilderberger lackey by the name of Tony Blair, who attended Bilderberg in 1993 when he was a shadow minister for the opposition, and then a couple of years later became Prime Minister of England.
And, of course, wasn't Jimmy Carter one of their... certainly he was affiliated with the Trilateral Commission. Was he ever a Bilderberger?
Jimmy Carter, no. He never went to any Bilderberg conferences. He was one of the founders of the Trilateral Commission. This is another man with absolutely no scruples whatsoever. And, of course, the media, it's the famous story, the man who went from, I think, 3 or 4% approval rating to overnight becoming the candidate of choice. This goes to show you how easily the media can manipulate our point of view. And if we keep in mind that 62% of Americans, according to the latest poll, get whatever information they know about the world from that oblong tube we have in the corner of a living room, it goes to show you how easy it is to manipulate, such a tremendous mass of people. And again, this is a very much uphill battle because the enemy is formidable, intelligent, brilliant. And unfortunately, we're not nearly as intelligent, not nearly as formidable. And we certainly, have been dumbed down to the point that, just getting people to listen to what one has to say, that's just an arduous task in itself.
Well, I think, of course, the most important thing that you can do is get as much exposure here in the United States, about your investigation. Certainly, people all throughout the rest of the world know about the Bilderbergers, and it's been written up in the Canadian press. It's been written up in the European press, but until very recently, it wasn't written up here. Yes, the last year or two, I've seen articles on the Bilderbergers, but I've been following this thing for 45 years, ladies and gentlemen, and believe me, they've totally blacked out any mention of that in the United States until recently. Now, my understanding is you've had actually some interviews on major programs here in the United States, and have they been doing some television filming on you since you've been here?
Well, actually, we've had a television crew who is filming a documentary. They've been following us around all day today, and they'll be doing the same thing tomorrow. They've gone with us, and they've covered all our interviews, all our television interviews. We had a net television interview, which in the end we will be doing tomorrow. But again, we're getting a lot of independent coverage from excellent outlets. Yours is obviously one of them. But there's enough people out there who now know about the kind of things that we do that we don't really need the New York Times of this world. you know, to get the world out. And I guarantee you that if people buy my book, they will never, ever look at the world the same way. And that's all we can really ask for people to begin thinking on their own instead of being subjected to this massive propaganda brainwashing campaign, which turns us into this brainwashed zombies.
And I think it's so vitally important, because some of the points that Daniel makes about, you know, how these people have used communism, and certainly they did not want the competition from Russia. That's why they destroyed their economies after the First World War, and then they destroyed the economy there. And in the 1990s, of course, Russia could have turned out to be an industrial giant, but the last thing they wanted was competition. After all, competition is considered a crime, and for the elitists who control the central banks and the industries of America, the last thing they wanted was an upstart Russia, or, until recently, an upstart China. Obviously, they have a plan, we're creating the best enemy money can buy in China in preparation, I believe, for another world war. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think, you know, we're in the middle of this quiet war. That quiet war is being waged on us. Again, it's not against China or Russia. We are their enemy, and they must destroy us or subjugate us, because, first of all, there are just too many of us, according to so many, you know, United Nations, you know, Cairo report in 1994, the Memorandum 200 1974.
You're speaking of the National Security Study Memorandum 200.
Exactly, you know, signed by Henry Kissinger when they were talking about, you know, April 24th, 1974. When they were talking about in point number 29C, you know, the need to eliminate between 1974 and 2050 upward of 3 billion people on the face of the earth. So, you know, these kinds of things isn't just hearsay. You know, the whole concept of Malthusian theory of population reduction, that goes back way back in the history, you know, in time, the history of mankind. So China is not the enemy. Russia is not the enemy. We are the enemy, and we had better get it.
Great. And for our listeners out there, the National Security Study Memorandum came out in 1974. It is available through Radio Liberty, and it basically calls for a massive reduction of the world's population. People have been carrying this out since 1974. Most people don't realize we've killed 100 million people from malaria over the last 33 years since we banned DDT, and we didn't ban it because it was dangerous. We banned it because it was saving so many lives. This is the reason they refused to use standard public health techniques to stop the AIDS epidemic, and although they estimate only about 50 million have died from that, another 30 or 40 million infected, the numbers are probably far larger than that. There are people who have a different worldview, and I think that it's so important that people understand there is a group of very wealthy and powerful people who really have a different worldview. Now, I think it's so interesting that we find the central bankers and the head of the Federal Reserve System there. Certainly, these are the people who control the money of the Western world, aren't they?
Well, exactly. Again, throughout history, the people who control power have been the people who control money supply, which is why in Europe, the European Parliament is just a debating society. It has absolutely no power. It's toothless. The only people in Europe who control anything whatsoever, it's the money people, the European Central Bank, you know. In England, it's the Queen's Treasury. In the United States, is the Federal Reserve, a private bank which does not represent the interests of the United States or its people. So these are the people who have controlled the money supply. And needless to say, these are the key ingredients and key elements of every Bilderberger meeting. Every banker, central banker from every European nation attends, Spain, France, Germany, England, Italy, et cetera, they all are present at all the Bilderberger conferences. And, of course, the president of the World Bank is there. International Monetary Fund is there, you know. And again, speaking of population reduction, I recently saw a document from the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. If in Africa, for example, you know, a smaller, poorer nation needs funds to fund whatever program, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank will give you the money as long as you agree to reduce the population of your country. And the more people you reduce, the more money you get. And this is actually a World Bank International Monetary Fund contract, which have been reported in several mainstream media press, as well as African media. And it just goes to show you how evil these people are. And again, they don't represent our interests, and we had better get it straight.
straight, and we better get it straight soon.
And I think they really do intend to kill off a good many people in third world countries. The poor and, of course, the useless eaters. And then we wonder why nothing is done about Darfur, and certainly nothing is done about the 100,000 people they've recently slaughtered over in Ethiopia. And certainly we didn't intervene in Rwanda when they hacked together some 800,000 Christians there. They knew exactly what they were doing, or there's just too many black people around, and there really is simply a racist attitude on the part of the elite. It was Alan Greenspan a member of the Bilderbergers, do you know?
Well, Alan Greenspan has always been a member of the Bilderbergers. You know, when people don't understand, what people don't understand, I'm just going to get a little bit of water. One second, please.
You go right ahead. And so certainly Alan Greenspan, Paul Volcker were both members of the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, the connection between all of these organizations are the Rockefeller interest. There's certainly a triune group. There's David Rockefeller, there is Henry Kissinger, and there is Zbigniew Brzezinski. They are both Rockefeller employees. Kissinger supposedly is a Republican. Brzezinski is supposedly a Democrat. And the truth of the matter is they laughed because they want us to believe that there's some difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Well,
no, in fact, you're right. There's no difference whatsoever. There's no such thing as a Democrat and a Republican. There's no such thing as left and right. Neither is there such a thing as communism and capitalism, because unlike what people believe or want to believe, the man who understands most about communism isn't Stalin or Brezhnev or anyone of Marx or Engels. Actually, the man who understands most about communism is a guy by the name of David Rockefeller, because to him, communism is just a system of control. And when you can have a monopoly controlled by the government, and you control the government, you control the monopoly. That's what they've done in the United States in the 19th century, with the railway. The government controlled the railway, and they controlled the government, so they controlled the most important monopoly at that time in the country.
That goes right today. Why, of course, the major monopolies are banking and certainly the energy industry. And, of course, what most people don't understand is that Exxon and Chevron, the two of the five largest banks in the world are both Rockefeller banks. And of course, in Europe, it's Royal Dutch Shell is the Royal Dutch family. And isn't the Queen of the Netherlands a regular meeting member of the Bilderbergers?
Oh, exactly. She's one of the most powerful women in the world, Queen Beatrix. She's been attending Bilderberg meetings for the last 10 years or 12 years or so. Her father, Prince Bernard, was one of the founders. He wasn't the most important member. He was a founder only in he was a public face. He was a fairly stupid man and a fairly greedy man. And the people actually who ran the Bilderbergers who were the brains behind the operations were people like Joseph Ratzinger, that's the Jesuit, 33-degree Mason priest, and some of the other characters in Europe. But Prince Bernard, he was definitely a public face of the Bilderbergers. And his daughter, Queen Beatrix, is now one of the most important members of this inner circle who makes decisions as to what will be discussed at each one of the Bilderberg meetings and who should be invited.
Well, now, you mentioned Ratzinger. Is this the man who today is the Pope?
No. Ratzinger is, he died in 1961.
All right,
he was,
fine.
They're not the same name.
All right, fine. I just wanted to be absolutely certain. I would be surprised if that was the case. Now, do they have any relationship at all with the Protestant or with the Catholic religion?
Which one?
Either one of them. Do the Bilderbergers have any relationship to our major religious organization?
No, not at all. In Bilderbergers, they don't believe in God. The concept of one world government is an anathema as far as religion is concerned. Their concept is creating one religion, which, of course, they will control, because they understand better than anybody else that mankind is weak, and they need this outlet with something beyond what we have here, to express their fears and concern, and also to use as a battering ram against our conscience.
In other words, basically you're saying that they actually want a one-world religion?
Well, I mean, you can see it, you can see it happening right now. The United Council of Churches in the United States has been taken over a long time ago by these people. I mean, they don't represent anybody anymore.
Now, Chris, what about this idea of bringing the kingdom of God to earth? Is this one of their goals? Do they ever talk about things like that?
Bringing the kingdom of God to earth? Not offic- officially in any one of their meetings.
All right,
and if
fine.
They do, I don't know.
All right, fine. I just wanted to check because you, there are certainly other groups that that talk about that, but I didn't know whether, of course, these people talked about it at all. Under any circumstances, certainly we find this group of people working behind the scenes, making mockery of the concepts of representative government because they pick our political leaders for us. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, of course, not only do they pick. I mean, again, one of the things I show in the book, how every presidential candidate for the Republican and Democratic Party since 1928 has belonged to the Bilderberger, to the Trilateral, or to the CFR. How over the last 50 years or so, every judge, every post of the admiral on the chief of staff, members of the secretaries of defense, of finance, all of them belong, or to the Bilderbergers, or to the CFR, the Trilateral Commission. We believe we live in a free society, but in fact, you know, both sides of the equation are managed by the same people. We can only win this war, you know, if we refuse to play by their rules. Unfortunately, again, to do that, people must understand that the reality they're witnessing, you know, the Giulianis and the Clintons apparently fighting each other.
Hold that thought, we'll be back in just a moment. Well, Daniel, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program, and you were just saying that, you know, certainly we're seeing examples of this as we see these debates with all the members of the Republican Party fighting back and forth, and then we see the Democrat candidates fighting back and forth, and it's really all sort of show business, isn't it?
It's a traveling circus, that's what it is, and, you know, what we have done is we have fallen for it on a very emotional, primitive, subhuman level, forgetting for 1 minute very important fact that all of these people belong to the same organization, yet none of them will openly discuss this fact.
And of course, you've actually been in the front lines, and of course, what happens when you go to these meetings? Are they sort of waiting for you and Jim Tucker to make sure that you don't get too close to the to where the meetings are held?
Well, they always wait for us. I mean, I don't know Jim because, you know, he comes from the United States, I come from Europe. But in 2005, for example, on my way to Rodenhagen in Germany, my plane was diverted to Italy, and they made me get off the plane in Milan. They interrogated me for about 10 hours or so before finally I was allowed on the plane to Germany. When I got off in Germany, they basically told me that even, you know, if I jaywalk, they're going to put me on the first plane back and send me back to Spain. So, you know, I was a model citizen for the 4 days that I was there. I didn't even sit on the sidewalk, not even once.
Now, that was when the meeting was actually being held. Was that big meeting being held in Germany that year?
That was exactly. I mean, I was on my way to the meeting. You know, I took a direct flight from Madrid to Munich, and the plane was diverted with all the passengers aboard, not knowing what was going on. They said technical problems. And, of course, as soon as we got to Milan, you know, the carabinieris, that's the Italian police, they got on the plane and whisked me out of the plane with everybody watching and thinking to themselves, is this guy a terrorist?
And so basically you were picked out. They knew you were coming. They certainly wanted to make your life miserable because the last thing they want is somebody going around the world telling about this secret organization that, of course, has the power really to determine the future. Well, we're just about out of time, Daniel. We will be having you again on one of our other stations on an entirely different network later this week, and so we'll certainly be in touch with Chris, and we'll hopefully have that telephone number, and I do hope that your cold gets better.
Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Well, Daniel, I want to thank you so very much for actually taking the time to do the research to put together this book. And I'm just hoping it's going to have a tremendous impact on the people who read it and in understanding the fact that there really are forces out there. This is not the rantings of people who are mad, but I think that we've needed a book like this for a long time. Thank you very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Good night. God bless. Thanks. Okay, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I think this is a very important book. It's called The True Story of the Bilderberger Group by Daniel Estulin, and he's fortunately had contact with one or perhaps two people. We don't know whether, I believe one of them is a man, but anyway, of course, these are people within the group who have risked their lives because they realize, of course, the potential danger of this centralization of power. If you'd like, of course, to get the book, You give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You know, for the learn more about it. And then, of course, behind all of this movement towards world government, which is their goal, are powerful spiritual forces, which most people, I'm sure, within the this group of the Bilderbergers don't understand, which, of course, most people who write about it don't understand. And that's why you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, or watch the DVD. And incidentally, it is posted on the Internet, the Radio Liberty site. It's called The Brotherhood of Darkness. You can actually see the DVD there. Of course, we hope you want to get a copy from us so you can show it to others. And then, of course, my talk on the Forbidden Secret. And you need that DVD and the syllabus that goes with it. And then the four-tape set and or the CD set, The Secret Behind the Secret, because this is presented from the other point of view. There is a DVD and a book now that's circulating, sold millions of copies, United States, throughout the world, put up by Rhonda Byrne, who introduces you to the law of attraction and teaches you that you can actually alter the universe with your mind. And she's encouraging people to do that, and of course that's the secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years, and literally all of the great men of the past, through past centuries and generations, have known about this secret. But we warn you not to try to access this, because we point out there is another dimension. And of course you are coming in contact with these beings from the other dimension, and what is their goal? Well, if you read their publications, and ladies and gentlemen, they do have a website. It's called thelucistrust.org, lucistrust.org. And there, of course, they'll tell you about the Masters of Wisdom, the Elder Brothers, the spiritual hierarchy who control the people who rule the world. And what is their goal? A one-world government, a one-world religion, and, of course, a new world leader. And that's, of course, why you'll certainly want to get the material that is available through Radio Liberty. We'll be having a new syllabus. It'll be available within a week. It's called The Planned Police State. And we'll be having a talk. In fact, that'll be the talk I'll be giving this weekend at our conference on The Planned Police State. But we will have some of the material from the Lucist Trust. And the Lucist Trust is financed by some of the richest people in the world. It has offices in New York City, in Geneva, Switzerland, in London. And some of the most powerful and wealthy men in the world finance this organization that is in contact with these people from the other dimension. And you say, that's crazy talk. Well, we challenge you to get their material. Understand that there really is a supernatural realm. If you're a Christian, why, of course, you believe in the virgin birth of our Lord and his death and resurrection. That's certainly supernatural, isn't it? There are lots of supernatural things going on out there. The crop circles. You look at some of the pictures of those. Those weren't made by people running around the field with a rope or something of the sort. We take their publications, Share Magazine, the pictures of these intricate crop circles. You can only appreciate them when you're seeing them, of course, from the air or from satellite, or certainly from low-flying planes, probably. Anyway, there are all sorts of the cattle mutilations. The UFOs certainly are manifestations of this other dimension. And literally hundreds of thousands of people have actually witnessed the UFO phenomenon. It is part of this other dimension. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on in the world begins to make sense. And these powerful people, where did they get their wealth? Why, of course, they gave themselves to the other side. If you haven't yet seen the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour versions available. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please go to our website, radioliberty.com, and you can listen to our programs there on the Internet 9 hours a day. And then pray for America and pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection, because we are truly involved in a spiritual war. Gilbert Berry. We're offering a book, The True Story of the Bilderbergers. It's $24.95. It's the Bilderbergers book. About $3.50. Soft cover. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And right now, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Lindsay Williams. And I've asked Lindsay to come on with us because certainly Lindsay had written back in the early 1980s a book called The Energy Non-Crisis. And it was simply pointing out that there really is no shortage of oil here in the United States. We have massive oil fields off the North Slope of Alaska, and certainly Atlantic Richfield, which of course has subsequently been purchased by British Petroleum, knows that. I've checked Lindsay's story with other people who were on the working there when he was working there on the pipeline back in the 1970s, and I believe his story is true, and everything, of course, I've been able to research. And for those of you who are skeptics, let me suggest you go onto the Internet, and we have several articles there. I think they were in 2004 on oil. Pull them down and read them and check them through and understand that they've done a magnificent job of lying to the American people to make us think that, of course, we're running out of oil so that they can run the price up, so they can create artificial shortages. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, the fundamentals of economics are this. If there's a shortage of oil, the price goes up. If there's a abundance of oil and the world was afloat with oil, the price would go down. Now, which do you think, that the people of great wealth who control certainly the five major oil corporations, British Petroleum, Royal Dutch Shell, Exxon and Chevron and Conoco, which do you think that they want? An excess amount of oil, the price goes down, or a shortage of oil, the price goes up, and of course, they want a shortage of oil. And that's why, of course, they created the artificial shortages. They made us dependent upon other nations, whereas we have enough oil here in the United States, certainly offshore and in federal land, oil and natural gas to last us hundreds of years. But and in fact, there are actually government reports that will tell you that, and you will never see them mentioned in the controlled media, because there's a vested interest in convincing the American people that if there's a shortage of oil, and that's why oil is at $80 a barrel now, it's going to $100 a barrel, and of course maybe much higher than that, and that is going to have a profound impact upon our economy, and going right along with the impoverishment of the American people, destroying our airline industry, our agricultural industry. And well, I'm going to go to Lindsay Williams because he's been studying this, and in fact he was just giving a talk on this, what was it, a week or two ago, Lindsay?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan, for allowing me to be on Radio Liberty tonight at a time when crude oil is playing such a major part in the life of every single one of us. And yes, you're right. I just came back from two speaking engagement seminars abroad. I was in Cancun, Mexico for a 8-day seminar in which I was a speaker, and then came home only for a day or two, then went to Panama, where I was in 9 days a speaker in a seminar there. And I am utterly amazed, Dr. Stan, what has taken place in the 9 days that I was outside the United States of America, because every bit of it relates back to the price of crude oil.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you explain to our listeners what's really going on and why this price of crude oil is so pivotal as far as the very existence of our society is concerned?
Well, let me begin with a statement, and then, of course, through the program, this will be very well explained. The standard currency of the world is crude oil. It's not the dollar, neither is it the euro nor the ruble, but crude oil. Now, the price of crude oil affects all of our lives. And back when I had executive status with the nine major oil companies during the construction of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline...
Hold on, I thought we'll be right back in just a moment. All right, go right ahead, Lindsay.
When I heard them talking about the fact that in the early 1960s, crude oil was chosen as a method of controlling the world. Just think for a moment. Every one thing that touches the life of every human being, I care not whether it be the person living in a third world country in a cardboard shack or living in America in a multi-million dollar home, crude oil touches the life of every single person. For instance, the toothbrush that you use tonight when you brush your teeth, it's made out of plastic. It comes from crude oil. Plastic bag in the garbage can is made out of crude oil. Asphalt highway you drive on, made out of crude oil. Polyester clothes a person wears, made out of crude oil, the drugs at the drugstore, gasoline at the gas pump. And back when I was sitting in the board meetings with the elitist of the world during the construction of the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, when I had executive status with those nine major oil companies, I heard them talking about a 30-year plan that they had for the world. Now, Dr. Stan, back... Oh, I guess it was probably 3 years ago. I had the privilege of being on your show for the first time, and I said that I had predicted many years ago that the price of crude oil was going to $3 a gallon. And here it is, right now, crude oil up there to $3 a gallon plus. And last week, just while I was out of the city on those speaking engagements, crude oil hit a spike on one day at $88. Gold, which of course goes right along with crude oil, went to $780, a spike up to $780 an ounce. And the same week, we had a $100 billion bailout because the dollar is in so much trouble. Every single bit of this relates directly to the price of crude oil because that's what's causing the dollar to be where it is today. For instance, when the oil-producing countries of the world stopped using the dollar as the standard currency for the trade of crude oil, the dollar began its collapse. With the beginning of the collapse of the dollar began the real estate bubble problem that we've got in our country today. And then for the first time in the history of the United States of America, on Friday, September the 28th, 07, that's just days ago, the dollar broke below 78 basic points. Went 77.7 to be exact. Every bit of this is a direct result of what is happening to the price of crude oil. So all of our lives are being impacted in a major way by the control factor that they chose. I was sitting there in their board meetings hearing them talk about the fact that in the early 1960s they chose crude oil as a method of controlling the world. And Dr. Stan, somehow I'd like to express to every person listening...
Hold that thought for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Lindsay is simply saying that when he was sitting in the boardrooms there with the leaders of the eight or nine largest oil companies in the world, he was there, he was given the benefit of executive status because he was working as a minister, but he was doing such a good job of helping build that pipeline that allowed him to come to the board meetings, and that God must have intervened. So he'd have this information so he could tell us today, but he was talking that when they were meeting there, and they were talking about how they had a 30-year plan for the control of the world. And how are they going to control the world? These oil executives were saying, we're going to use oil to control the world. And of course, you control the price of oil and the availability of oil. You control energy production and, of course, all the things that go with it. You can't do farming without diesel fuel. You can't fly planes without jet fuel. You can't drive your car without gasoline. You can't deliver the products which are delivered to your grocery store or to your department store unless we have major trucks carrying that. So, and then, of course, as Lindsay points out, whether it be the plastic in your toothbrush, whether it be the plastic that you use to wrap up your food, whether it would be many of the pharmaceuticals you use, they are all dependent upon oil, even some of the pigments in the paint you're using. The oil is a universal product, and control oil. You control the people, you control the wealth of the world. And that's exactly what these people were plotting, and Lindsay was there listening to them. Go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, I'd like to express to every person in your listening audience, everything that Dr. Stan Monteith says is the truth. Now, I know sometimes that people have a little difficulty believing some of the things that are real, because oftentimes it's more difficult to believe reality than it is to believe some fairy tale somewhere. Folks, believe everything you hear on Dr. Stan's program. I get his newsletter every month. I wouldn't want to do without it. I think it is marvelous. Everything he's saying is truth. There are people on the face of the earth who control the world. I know. I lived with them for 3 years. I stayed in the same dorm with them at Prudhoe Bay. I sat across the dinner table from them. There are people on the face of the earth that are who Dr. Stan says they are. They are people who control the world. They have an agenda. They are manipulating the world the way that they want it to go. They chose crude oil as a method of controlling the world back in the early 60s, and today the standard currency of the world is crude oil. Now, let me try to just explain this a little bit and go a little bit deeper into depth. When these countries stopped using the dollar, it had been since the early 60s, the dollar had been the currency in which they traded crude oil. I don't care whether it was Iran, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, whatever country it may be, the dollar was always used up until about a year ago for the standard currency for the trade of crude oil. Then, the first country that jumped ship and said, we aren't going to do this anymore. We're going to use something besides the dollar. The first country was Iran, March the 20th of 06. It said, no more dollars. We're going to use some other currency for the trade of crude oil. Then, on the heels of Iran was Venezuela. Now, notice that this was the same time that the dollar started its slide. Because everything that's happening to the dollar today, all that's happening in the real estate market, with the burst of the bubble, what's taking place with inflation in our country, the price of gasoline at the gas pump, every bit of it relates directly to the use of the dollar for the trade and sale of crude oil. So first was Iran, then Venezuela. Now think back on this. And then Nigeria came along and said, as soon as we run out Shell Oil Company, we're going to use something else besides the dollar. Then on the heels of that was Bolivia. Then the nail that was driven into the coffin of the dollar was when Russia, which, by the way, as of November of last year, became equal to Saudi Arabia in oil output, on May the 11th of 06, Russia said, we're going to use a ruble. We're not going to use the dollar anymore. And then, oh, I couldn't believe it. Friday, September the 21st, 2007, Saudi Arabia said, OPEC and other Arab countries and I are considering the possibility of going to another currency instead of using the dollar. Now,
I think it's so important for our listeners to understand that if the dollar ceases to be the reserve currency of the year of the world, there are other countries control about, maybe pretty close to $3 trillion in dollars. And they're going to dump those dollars, and they're going to buy up America, and because, of course, everything in the United States is worth only about $12 billion, so they're going to, and they already, foreign countries already own about 25% of our industrial base. They'll be able to buy up another 50% of our industrial base, and there'll be very little that'll be American-owned, and that's exactly the way it is in a third-world country. They're in the process of transferring our manufacturing, our jobs to other nations, because they really want to make America a third world nation. And people say, that's crazy. That could never happen here. And I would ask, why not? Of course, not only is it happening, but if God is just, he is going to bring terrible judgment on this country. And, we can look at this from a financial point of view, or we can look at it from a spiritual point of view. And I would like to suggest, if we totally leave the spiritual component out and leave God out, then a lot of things going on don't make sense. But if you understand there is a spiritual battle going on, and God does bring judgment on nations, why, of course, we can understand where America's headed. Please pick up the story, Lindsay.
Well, Dr. Stan, as a result of the world not using the dollar as a standard currency for the trade of crude oil, as you have just stated, that is exactly what has taken place last week. Yeah, the records came out last week. In the month of August, Japan and China led a record withdrawal of foreign funds from the United States, heightened fears of a fresh slide in the dollar and the spike of U.S. bonds. Okay, here are the figures. The U.S. requires $70 billion a month of capital inflow to cover its current account deficit. And listen to what happened now. This was during the month of August. Asian investors dumped $52 billion worth of U.S. Treasury bonds alone, led by Japan, $23 billion, China, $14.2 billion, Taiwan, $5 billion. All of this took place in the month of August. Why? Because the dollar is no longer being used as the standard currency for the trade of crude oil. The world does not need it as it one time needed it. And as a result, everything that is happening in our economy today, everything even down to the burst of the bubble of the real estate market, every bit of it, inflation included, is all directly related to the fact that the standard currency of the world is crude oil. And when these nations, Iran, Venezuela, Nigeria, Bolivia, Russia, and then Saudi Arabia, said, we're going to use something else besides the dollar, the whole world began to dump the dollar in a massive way. Data from the U.S. Treasury showed an outflow of $163 billion from all forms of U.S. investments during the month of August. These numbers are absolutely stunning, because the average American must realize that at this point, we are very rapidly becoming the elitist are making of us, may I put it that way, exactly as Dr. Stan has said for so long on his program. The elitists are making America become a third world nothing. It's unbelievable, Dr. Stan.
And, of course, the average American really doesn't understand that. They believe when the government tells them that, oh, we have no inflation, 2% inflation, 2%, 2.1% core inflation. That is, of course, the inflation rate. That's what they're going to pay the elderly who are on Social Security. They're going to get an extra maybe $25 this year because of inflation. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the inflation rate's running about 11%, and they're simply lying to you. When George Bush went into the White House, oil was $20 a barrel. Today, oil, of course, is almost $80 a barrel. Now, that, of course, is quadrupled. And yet, of course, they insist there's no inflation. Well, core inflation, of course, ignores food. It ignores fuel. It ignores anything that's going up in value. And simply, although figures don't lie, liars can figure. And as long as you can keep the American people from realizing that the America's central bank is intent upon destroying the value of your savings, your pension, your annuities, your CDs, anything that you have tied to the dollar. Until as long as the American people don't need that, don't understand that, they're going to go right along with the system. But unfortunately, most Americans are going to lose the value of almost everything they have, including their pensions. Social Security is going belly up. Starting in January of 2008, just about 2 months from now, why, of course, 3 months from now at the most, the baby boomers are going to begin to retire. An awful lot of them are going to retire at 62. Why? Because they know there's no money in the Social Security Fund, and they want to get their money out before the system goes kaput. And then what do you think is going to happen? Well, of course, there's not enough money, of course, to pay all the people retiring, and then all the people who are already retired. And the whole system is simply hanging by a thread, and they know it's going to collapse. They just don't dare let the American people know, because they'd be furious with the elitists who've created this problem, not by accident, not by ineptitude, but by intent. Go right ahead, Lindsay.
Dr. Stan, $5 a gallon for milk, I think it speaks for itself. Groceries have gone up 21% since January the 1st of this year.
But, of course, the inflation's only 2.1%, ladies and gentlemen. Either the government's lying or your eyes are lying, one or the other. And I would rather think that it is the government lying, because I can see what's happening, and I look at what's happening to the price of fuel. I see what's happening. I ordered some things from a catalog today. I haven't had the catalog very long, but the prices on almost everything had gone up, but the prices were listed in the catalog are no longer applicable. The prices on everything is going up, but they can't tell the American people.
Dr. Stan, you're exactly right. And oh, how I would like to punctuate my statement that folks listen to everything Dr. Stan has to say on his program. He is telling you the truth, trying his best to help you understand that we are in a crisis situation, and it all began with crude oil.
Right. Well, I think that, Chris, we're going to have Lindsay keep us abreast and really the implications of what's going on, because Lindsay's talking to people all across the country, all across the world. Everybody in the world knows what's going on. Everybody in the world knows they're going to destroy the economy of the United States, the once proud America. Once, of course, the envy of the whole world, the land of the free and the, well, today, unfortunately, it's become the home of the depraved. Lindsay, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, this is also spreading to other countries. Other countries are beginning to realize that the American dollar is so worthless. For instance, on Wednesday, September the 26th of 07, just days ago, Egypt and Israel, I couldn't believe this. I mean, this startled me so much. Egypt and Israel both sent communiques to Washington, D.C., to the White House, requesting that their foreign aid money be given to them in euros. When I looked at that, I thought, wait a minute now. You're giving them this, and they turn around and say that the American dollar is so worthless now that they want it in euros? You know, Dr. Stan, this showed up on my trip to Cancun, Mexico, where I was there for 8 days and then came home for a few days and went to Panama, where I spoke in another seminar for a 9-day period. When we were in the airport, I thought, well, wait a minute. And then we got to the resort in Cancun and also the one in Panama, and I looked around. We went in, by the way, a day or two early because I wanted to be there and be my best ready for the seminar. And I noticed that the resort, in fact, they had no one there. And they said this was the nicest resort in the country of Panama. I mean, it really very fancy. And the one in Cancun was the same way. And I thought, wait a minute, where are the people? The group that we were with, which was quite a few hundred people from many different countries of the world in both of these seminars, and our group filled up about everything that was in the hotel, and then when our group left, the hotel was literally deserted. Now, tourist trade is being affected by this in a major way. I couldn't believe that there were no people there just before the seminar, right after the seminar, and the day or two that I stayed over, and when we came back home on Continental Airlines from Panama just 2 days ago, the aircraft was nearly empty. I mean, I have not seen an aircraft like this in years. I mean, I flew this way back in the 80s, but now every seat is filled almost on every airplane. There were so few people on that aircraft from Panama coming back into Houston, Texas, and then we went on from there to Phoenix, Arizona. And I thought, well, now, what's wrong? The airplane was so empty that each member of our family, my son, my wife, and I, were all on these seminars together. And all three of us had a seat to ourselves. We laid down and took a nap all the way from Panama back to Houston, Texas. The airplane was so empty. I mean, tourist trade is being affected. The American dollar is being affected. Our lifestyle is being changed. And every bit of it goes back, Dr. Stan, to what I heard 35 years ago. And I'm so glad that you verified this by calling Mr. Jim Lawler that time and asking him the question, is Lindsay Williams really for real, or is he just a flake out there somewhere? I'm so glad that you verified that so that people know that what I heard in their board meetings 35 years ago, they're doing every bit of it.
Right. In fact, I asked Mr. Lawler to come on the program. He couldn't because he was still working for British Petroleum. I suspect he's probably retired now, but I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who know what's going on, but nobody has certainly been as outspoken as Lindsay Williams, who will tell you later about his book, which we carry, and the books that he has. And it's so vitally important that people understand that, of course, as oil goes up higher and higher, why, of course, the value of the dollar is going to keep declining in value because, of course, the oil has been certainly what's behind the reserve status of the American dollar. And unfortunately, the reserve status of the American dollar is about to be lost. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You go right ahead, Lindsay. Lindsay was simply commenting that it had been down in Panama here recently at a meeting and flying back. First of all, there was nobody at the hotel other than the couple of hundred people at the conference he was attending. But the tourist business in Panama, which has always been vibrant, seems to have really slowed down. Flying back from Panama, on Continental, why there was hardly anybody on the plane. Instead of being crowded planes, suddenly not very many people flying internationally. Certainly, it seems to be the economy is beginning to slow down throughout the world, and certainly this is true in Europe. They're very, very concerned about this over in China, that the Chinese market may be on the verge of simply a financial collapse. Well, go ahead, Lindsay.
Well, the standard currency of the world is crude oil. I don't know how I can state this emphatically enough. I heard them talking about 35 years ago how they were going to use crude oil as a method of controlling the world. But, Dr. Stan, I never, in the wildest dream of my imagination, could have ever imagined that the American dollar would literally collapse as a result of the price of crude oil and the fact that the dollar is not being used as the standard currency for the trade of crude oil anymore. And, folks, you're going to have the most rude awakening that you could ever imagine in just a few weeks' time. Now, let me try to explain why. Last week, while I was down in Panama for this seminar, crude oil spiked one day to $88 and some few cents. Now, that is going to show up in your heating oil bill. That's going to show up at the gas pump at approximately 25 to 30 cents increase, and they want $150 a barrel oil before they can open up Gull Island. Now, Dr. Stan, you remember the story of Gull Island. I'll take time to tell that tonight. But the largest pool of oil in North America, I was there. It's recorded in my book, The Energy Non-Crisis, under a chapter entitled, If Gull Island Doesn't Blow Your Mind, This Will. I was there the day that the top eight oil company officials of the world stood in Mr. Ken Fromm's office, and I had the privilege of walking into that room and hearing them say that they had just made America energy independent, that we didn't need any more foreign oil, that they had just discovered the largest pool of oil in North America and made the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth. And then the following day, I was told not to say anything about what I'd heard because that had just been ordered classified, and until this day, the largest pool of oil in North America, maybe the largest pool of oil on the face of the earth, as far as they were telling me that day, not one drop of crude oil has ever been allowed from that. And I asked Mr. Ken Fromm one day, I said, Ken, why don't you release the oil from Gull Island? And he said, Lindsay, we are not going to do it until the price of crude oil gets to where we want it. Then we will let the American refineries have that crude oil. You see, every bit of this is a design plan according to the agenda of the elitist, and what you're going to see is $150 a barrel oil eventually. At some point, it spiked up to $88 and some few cents last week. It's going to continue to climb. Therefore, your fuel bill is going to go up tremendously this winter. The price of gas at the gas pump within just the next few weeks is, in order to meet that crude oil spike last week, is going to have to go up at least 25 to 30 cents. And every bit of this is affecting our economy in such a major way. And, oh, do I feel for the people across America, Dr. Stan, when they think of the natural gas bills they're going to have to pay this winter. In my book, Energy Non-Crisis, I talk about the amount of natural gas at Prudhoe Bay. You see, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline corridor was designed to carry three pipelines. The oil companies built one, and then the federal government came along and said, you do not build any more. Now, one of those three pipelines was supposed to have been a natural gas pipeline, but since there is no place to put that natural gas, when the oil comes up out of the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska, natural gas comes up with it naturally. It's just a part of the whole, all of it coming together. $1 billion. You heard me now. I did not say million. 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas every 24 hours is being pumped back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. And Dr. Stan, I'll finish this when we get back.
One thing we have to understand, of course, is they can't vent that in the atmosphere. It would be the polluting, as it's because it's a methane gas, so that they simply pump it back again. It could, of course, been brought down. It could have been put on, liquefied, put on tankers and brought to America. They could have come up with other alternatives. They don't want a solution, ladies and gentlemen. They want a problem. And that is, of course, how they're going to raise the prices here. And they work in concert with high government officials Why? Because there's tremendous profits. Remember, when there's a shortage of oil and natural gas, and why the price goes up. When there's abundance, the price goes down. Which do you think they want? An abundance or a shortage? Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Let's see, what was the response of the people that you were talking to coming from other countries about the things that you're talking about are they concerned about the demise of the dollar and the falling of the value of the dollar and what it's going to mean for the rest of the world? Because, of course, America has always been stable and our currency was stable. It was sought after until just recently. So what did other people say?
People in other countries, and we had many countries represented in both of the seminars that I was in, both the one in Cancun, Mexico, and also the one in Panama. They are stunned at what's happening to the American dollar. I mean, they are beside themselves to know what to do. China holds $1.3 trillion of American paper. We take products from them, give them back paper. And then Saudi Arabia holds $3.1 trillion of American paper. And these countries are bailing out so rapidly, it's unbelievable because they're scared to death. And the people that were in these seminars, they were asking me, they said, what is going on? What's happening to the U.S. dollar? And I tried to tell them that it is all directly related to crude oil, which is the standard currency of the world. And that since the dollar is no longer used as a reserve currency, that now crude oil is being denominated in its sales in other currencies, so the dollar is literally plummeting through the floor. But Dr. Stan, the thing that touched my heart, I think, more than anything else is, in this seminar in Panama, we had numerous big farmers from Western Canada around Calgary and Edmonton. And they said to me, Chaplain Williams, we really have a problem. They said if the price of diesel fuel, crude oil goes up, the price of diesel fuel goes any higher, we cannot afford to tend our farms. Now, this was just last week in Panama at this seminar, and these big farmers that farm thousands of acres around Calgary and Edmonton, the wheat belt of that part of the country, and they said, we are really having a problem because of the price of diesel fuel. You see, folks, the price of crude oil relates to everything. From the toothbrush you use to the price at the grocers at the grocery store to the farmer being able to tend their crops, plant them, and reap the harvest in the fall. Every bit of this is a direct relationship to what's happening to crude oil. But then it just breaks my heart when I see the farmers, the one that's producing the food for the mouths of the people in this country, being hurt so much because Saudi Arabia... In Saudi Arabia, I'll just use that as an example because most people recognize that name very quickly as the leading oil-producing country of the world.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Leslie. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Lindsay Williams, our guest, his book, Energy Non-Crisis. And it's certainly a classic. Lindsay, would you like to get your webpage out there so people would know how to get in touch with you?
Yes, Dr. Stan. You can go to my webpage. It's in LW. That's like Lindsay Williams, just the initial L, the initial W, oil, OIL.com. And Dr. Stan, I'm so alarmed at what is happening and so disturbed over what's taking place in my wonderful country that I love so much. I came back through customs coming back from Panama, and the customs official was kind of jovial and chatting with us, and we didn't have too many people behind them. And I said, you know, every time I go to a foreign country, I come back to America, go through customs, and want to get out on the floor and kiss the ground. Regardless of what we are, we're still so wonderful to be back here. But when I look at what's happening to my wonderful country, it breaks my heart because I know who's doing it. I sat with the elitist of the world for 3 years on the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline. Someone asked the other day, why don't you have a glossary in your book, Energy Non-Crisis? I said, because I didn't go and read somebody else's book and write about what was taking place. I lived my story of the book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and I am so startled at what is happening to this country. Now, you remember, Dr. Stan, back about 3 years ago when you allowed me for the first time to be on your show, I had four DVDs. That's all I had. In fact, I think it was VCRs back in those days. Now, today, we have nine DVDs. Yes, and by the way, I want to get you some of my new DVDs, Dr. Stan. The one on the North American Union, the one that you see Lou Dobbs, you see Jim Cramer, and some others talking about what's happening in our economy today. We have another DVD that was prepared by a Nobel Prize nominee. And I said, something's going to happen to our healthcare system in America. Would you please prepare one just for those people that happen to be in my listening audience when I'm on radio shows? And another one prepared by one of the top economists in this country as to what to do when the dollar continues to collapse any further than what it is right now. I'm giving these DVDs away. That's right. I only had four some years ago. We have nine now. That means I am giving you, folks, if only you could understand my heart. I'm 71 years of age. Dr. Stan and I have been together. We relate back to those days years ago. I'm doing anything to try to help people know every issue from 1960 until 2007. And as a result, I'm giving away, Dr. Stan, I'm giving as a gift five DVDs now as a gift. When you buy just my four DVD set, I'm giving you five as a gift merely because I must see you know the issues. What about 9/11? What's happening to oil? What about banking? Why the dollar is collapsing? What's taking place? Saudi Arabia, it only cost $5 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground. Who is making the difference between $5 a barrel and nearly $90 a barrel? On the North Slope of Alaska, it costs $3 a barrel to get the oil out of the ground. You must hear the story on my DVD entitled The Energy Non-Crisis. 15 hours of a family library of information that will astound you. And I haven't increased the price at all. You just buy the four. I will give you five as a gift. And please, write down this number for me and give them a call. I've asked the operators to be standing by even tonight. The number is 800-321-2900 for nine DVDs. You only buy four. I give you five as a gift because I am so concerned about our country. I will give you as a gift a copy of my book, The Energy Non-Crisis. I will also give you as a gift a copy of my book, You Can Live, 263 pages of what you need. And please ask for the survival guide. Dr. Stan, we have even prepared, I am so concerned about our country and the way it's going, we have even prepared a survival guide that will help you to know everything that you should do in the case of an emergency, and we're giving it as a gift. Now, this is not a pamphlet. This is multi-color, many pages survival guide that will help you to know everything that you can do in light of what I'm saying here tonight and in light of all the things that you hear Dr. Stan say. Please call them and ask them about all of this. Nine DVDs, Gift of the Survival Guide, My Energy Non-Crisis, my other book. The number is 800-321-2900 for a family library of 15 hours of quality digital DVD viewing.
All right, fine. Sounds like a great deal. You were pretty close to Congressman Hansen. Whatever happened to George?
I wish I knew. I have tried to get in touch with him lately, and for the life of me, I cannot find him anymore. They literally decimated that man, and I wish I knew where I could find him.
I just wondered because George Hansen was an honest congressman who they arrested on trumped-up charges, tortured for 10 years, and, of course, eventually then said, oh, shucks, George, you never should have been convicted at all. Why, we're going to have you exonerated. Too bad. You're bankrupt. Your health is ruined. Your marriage is ruined. Your professional career is ruined. And it was all just a mistake. And George Hansen was a very courageous man. He was very close to Lindsay. But anyway, Lindsay, as we begin talking about what's happening, as far as the farmers are concerned, the price of diesel is really going to put many of these farmers into a position where they'll not be able to continue farming, will they?
Oh, that's exactly what's happening. In fact, one of the farmers from Canada that was at this convention in Panama where I spoke just last week, he said to me, he said, why? He said, Chaplain Williams, why? doesn't one of your congressmen stand up and do something about all this and tell the truth? My answer to him was, they all know what happened to John F. Kennedy when he tried to do away with the Federal Reserve. And they went on to ask me a story about that. And I said, they know exactly what happened to Larry McDonald whenever he tried to tell the truth. And I said, as a result, they're scared to death to move today. And so one of the farmers asked me, he said, well, Chaplain Williams, why are you still out there doing it? I said, because I have divine protection. And so then I went on to tell them just what you said a moment ago, Dr. Stan. Set your spiritual house in order. Folks, if there is ever a time when you need to get things right with the Lord, it's today. Because, you know, a house that's built on the rock, it's going to stand. When it's built on sand, it'll wash away. And regardless of what takes place in this country or in the world, even the food supply, you and I will make it if we know that we're safe in Jesus Christ, that we have accepted Him as our Savior, that our spiritual house is established. And oh, right now, it is so vitally important that that be the very first thing that every single person does. And I'm so glad to hear Dr. Stan being willing to say this out in a broadcast. And I would just punctuate it that this is so vitally important. And then when all of this, these things take place, regardless of what happens in your household, you'll be able to stand. So, Dr. Stan, back to that natural gas that I was mentioning a moment ago.
Okay, go right ahead.
1 billion cubic feet of natural gas every 24 hours is being pumped back into the ground at Prudhoe Bay, Alaska. And just so that you'll know that look up this and find it for yourself. They're using 747 type jet aircraft engines. It takes that many to pump 1 billion cubic feet of natural gas back into the ground. They're adapted for that purpose. We have enough natural gas on the north slope of Alaska on the Prudhoe Bay oil field to supply the entire United States of America for over 200 years if every other natural gas well in America were cut off tomorrow morning at the projected rate of increased consumption. And this is an atrocity because the oil companies wanted to build a natural gas pipeline down the same corridor as a crude oil pipeline, liquefy it in Valdez, and bring it out to the lower 48 states, and they intentionally said, no, don't do it. We have the infrastructure for transporting this all across the United States of America, and they wouldn't let them bring it. So as a result, what's going to happen to your natural gas bill this winter? It could be going down. Instead, it's going up. The crude oil from the Gull Island oil field, within a year and a half, the price of gasoline at the gas pump could be less than $1.50 a gallon. And our president knows this. Our oil president and vice president both know it. The only place that there is a shortage is in Washington. It's a shortage of honesty. And foreigners, Dr. Stan, when I went to these two conventions and was a speaker in both Cancun, Mexico, and then right back-to-back to that with Mexico and Panama, you know, everybody out there from Canada, from Europe, we had a country, we had one person there from one of the Iranian countries, and they all said to me, the dollar is collapsing. You know, the only place, Dr. Stan, I find that people don't know the dollar is collapsing, it's right here in the United States of America. But all the rest of the world, the people I was with, everyone said the dollar is on the way out. My contention is that they want the dollar to collapse so they can bring in the Amero.
Either the
North American
Amero,
Union.
Well, it may very well be the Amero could be another global currency. It doesn't matter what they call it. They want to destroy the dollar. And only when the dollar is destroyed will the American people be willing to accept another currency. But in the meantime, the vast majority of the American people are going to be impoverished. That is what we have to get people to understand. And this is not happening by accident. It has happened by design. They intentionally designed this housing bubble to fail. And anybody who doubts that needs to read my latest newsletter. It'll be out probably in about 2 weeks. I think it's Financial Collapse Part 3 in a four-part series. You need to read it. You need to understand. They knew back in the year 2000 exactly what was going on. And, of course, people on the Federal Reserve Board tried to get Alan Greenspan to do something, and he refused to do it. And you have to ask yourself, why? Because Mr. Greenspan is a brilliant individual. He knew what he was doing. He created the housing bubble. He encouraged people to buy homes with adjustable rate mortgages, ARMs as they call them. Encouraged people to refinance their homes, knowing full well that the time would come when, of course, the value of those homes would fall and these people would lose their homes and their mortgages would become simply unserviceable. They've created this whole crisis, and the question is, why? Well, Lindsay, certainly, as you talk to people throughout the world, they're concerned about the collapsing of the dollar. What's happening to the economy in other countries?
You know, this is what is so strange, Dr. Stan. As I travel to these other countries, I find that the economy is booming. I am amazed. They said in Canada, booming economy. Mexico, booming economy. The people who were there from Europe in these seminars, the economy is booming. They said the only place in the world that we're seeing a downturn in the economy is in your country of America. The euro is booming. The pound, sterling, is booming. The other currencies, most all of them are going up. And the American dollar is plummeting through the floor. And I look at all of this. You know, it was so comical, Dr. Stan, when I went to Mexico, Cancun, Mexico. I would say that 90% of the people there came from the United States of America. And then we had people from many other countries of the world, too. But I'd say about 90% came from America. Everybody wanted to use a credit card. I was utterly amazed when they bought my package of 9 DVDs and had my book given to them. I would say probably 80% of the people used a credit card. The rest of them wanted to use a check. Then I went to Panama, where we had people from every other country in the world except America, mainly Canadians, but quite a few people from Europe also. You know the only thing they used? The American dollar. I was amazed. There were $100 bills flying all over the place. I did not use a single credit card, not one, in Panama, and there were people from other countries. And I asked one of them, I said, why? They said, oh, we haven't corrupted quite as far as you Americans have yet. He said, we don't depend on credit for everything. Not a single credit card was given to me in Panama. One check only. Everything else was cash. When they would buy my DVDs and get my book, I look at this and I say, oh, you poor Americans, why don't you wake up? Dr. Stan, I urge your audience, everybody listening to this radio broadcast, I beg of you, hear what Dr. Stan says every day. He is trying his best to tell you the truth. He's a watchman standing on the wall. And it's amazing how day after day he gets out there and tells you these facts, and everything he is saying is the truth.
Well, I appreciate your saying that, Lindsay. We do our best. We certainly try to get people to understand that behind everything going on today, behind this entire move to destroy the stability of our nation, to create a one-world government and a one-world religion, and with a one-world leader, behind all of this are powerful spiritual forces. There really are people who have a different worldview. They want to bring the kingdom of God to earth, but they never, of course, say which God they're talking about, and I would like to suggest that they all worship the different God, the other God. So I think it's so vitally important that people understand that when we see these things taking place today that just don't make sense, if they don't make sense, there has to be another explanation. And that takes us, of course, into the study of the occult forces working within the shadows, which only occasionally we see a glimpse of, but when we do, the implications are terrifying. Well, Lindsay, what advice do you give to people? What should people be doing today to protect themselves, or is there anything they can do to protect themselves and their life savings?
Yes, Dr. Stan, they can. And when I look around and see what's taking place today, I beg people to know the issues. That's the first thing you need to do. When you listen to Dr. Stan day after day, do what you need to do in order to maintain your lifestyle. Set your spiritual house in order. That's the first thing that you should do. Then I would urge you, again, I'm just not trying to sell a package of DVDs, because if I did, I would still only have 4 like I did years ago, and I would sell them. I have 9, and you're only paying for 4. I'm going to give you 5 DVDs, one on health. What you can do when the health care system fails, do you really think the doctor and the nurse is going to go to the job when they don't get paid, or the school teacher. And now, then let's come down to what's happening in the financial field. How can you prepare your house in light of what's taking place? What about the North American Union and the issue of the Amero, which they have set a date for 2010 to do all of this? We have prepared DVDs on every one of these subjects, along with crude oil, along with what's happening to the family farm. I even interview a banker in one of my DVDs, and he tells us of the intricate interworkings of the banking cartel and how they do it. Now, with all of these things, you will be able to know how to prepare yourself, and we'll even give you a survival guide so that you'll know what to do about it afterwards. Please dial 800-321-2900, and hopefully these things will be a great help to you.
All right, fine. Well, our guest this evening has been Lindsay Williams. We've been talking about what's going on. We've been talking about oil. And, of course, there really is no oil shortage, but they're going to use the perception of an oil shortage to drive the price of oil up. And as they do that, they progressively impoverish the American people. Certainly, Russia is the one of the largest oil and natural gas producers in the world today. And, of course, they want, of course, all payment to be made in rubles, not in dollars for their oil. Everything is changing. We're losing our country. Well, Lindsay, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program. What are the thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners tonight?
I'd like to do it in the form of a story, Dr. Tastan, and note my wording very carefully. In 1960, I drove to a service station. The attendant walked out of the building and said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "Fill her up." He washed my windshield, checked my tires, raised the hood, checked my oil, came back around and said, "That'll be 35 cents a gallon." That year, crude oil was 4 quarts to a gallon. Now, let's go to 2007. I drive to a gas station. There's no attendant. She can't afford one anymore. No windshield washing. No one. I have to get out, put my credit card in the pump, and get no service whatsoever. $3 plus per gallon. Today, oil is still 4 quarts to a gallon. I try to express to people in these seminars I go to, the gasoline has not changed. Gasoline is still 4 quarts to a gallon, and proportionately to the value of the dollar, we're still paying today exactly what we paid for a gallon of gas in 1960, 35 cents a gallon. The only thing that has changed in value is the value of the currency that we purchase the gasoline with. The dollar has plummeted through the floor. The nations of the world are literally scared to death who are holding dollars. Now, folks, take courage. If you know the mindset of the elitist, you can overcome them. You will be able to survive and have a nice home and life for yourself if you take action now. There's no reason to be afraid. I sleep quite well at night. I don't look behind bushes when I travel. And everything that Dr. Stan says, take them to heart, make preparations now, and you don't have to worry. The Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Don't ever be afraid of truth. And that's what you're hearing here tonight, what Dr. Stan says. And if you know that truth, you can be free and be joyous through all the things that are taking place in this world today.
And I think that's absolutely true. I think that we make all of our preparations if it's up to us, but in the final analysis, it's really up to our Lord. And it says that we're going to have to put our faith in Him, because everything we have done in the way of material things and material preparations may fail. We would be foolish not to do it, but in the final analysis, we are involved in a spiritual battle, and this is God's battle. We are called to do our best. Lindsay is called. He's been on the front lines of this battle for many years as a Christian missionary, and now as Christian educator, and that's what Radio Liberty does as well. Lindsay, God bless you. We'll talk to you later this week.
Thank you, Dr. Stan, for allowing me the privilege of being on your show.
Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we do carry Lindsay's book, The Energy Non-Crisis, and we also have a 4-tape set on oil. And I think you'll find it fascinating. Most of what you've been told about oil just is not true. So if you'd like to, of course, to get the book, The Energy Non-Crisis, you'd like to get our four-tape set, why it is available. And then we have so many four-tape sets on everything. We have four-tape sets on the North American Union. We have four-tape sets on globalism. We have four-tape sets on autism, a created epidemic that is claiming the lives of about one in every 150 children. But remember, certainly one in every six American children has some sort of a neurobehavioral abnormality. Probably every child in America's life, brain has been damaged. With the use of aspartame, which is a terrible, terrible poison, and they put it in so many of the foods and drinks of our children, and then, of course, through the mercury that's in the vaccines, and, of course, they've told you they've taken out of childhood vaccines, and they're simply playing games with words. They have left it in vaccines given to children, and the influenza shot, which does very little good, and yet, of course, they keep encouraging everybody, children and adults, to get it, and especially the elderly. Of course, it contains their full dose of toxic mercury. There is no safe dose of mercury, and yet, of course, they're poisoning our elderly. And, of course, if you would take your influenza shots, and your age between 60 and 65, and you take three or four of your influenza shots over a five-year period, 10 years down the line, the chance of Alzheimer's goes up 1,000%, tenfold. And of course, this is why Alzheimer's disease is the seventh largest cause of death in America today. Why? Because there are too many elderly. The whole system's going to collapse unless we can kill off the elderly. And there are people in government who are poisoning our people and encouraging them to get the influenza shot. And if you read the literature, not what they say about 36,000 people die every year of influenza, they do not. They die of pneumonia. They're probably not more than 1,000 die of influenza, and they're certainly people who have serious immune problems, seriously ill, and that's why they pass away. But they're poisoning our children. They're destroying their minds, and then, of course, they're doing it with the fluoride, and when they use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, it increases doubles the incidence of lead in the blood. That's Dr. Professor Roger Masters' work out of Dartmouth. What you need to do, of course, is get the material. We have a great interview with Roger Masters. Dr. Roger Masters at Dartmouth. You can look him up on the Internet, and we have his material. We want you to find out what's going on. You need to get my talk on None Dare Call It Genocide. It's a DVD. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. Oh, you need to get our video on population control, our four-tape set, our monograph on planned, the population control agenda monograph. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, there are people out there with an entirely different worldview. How do we understand it? Well, you really need to get our four-tape or four-CD set called The Supernatural. And, of course, the book that goes with that, entitled The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson, who was actually deeply involved in the occult. She was a medium until she finally realized that it was all demonic. You need to get my talk on The Forbidden Secret. The Forbidden Secret, there's a syllabus that goes with that, but the DVD stands pretty well on its own. You need to get our four CD or four tape set on The Secret Behind the Secret, the answer to Rhonda Byrne's video and DVD that have been featured on Oprah Winfrey and certainly on Larry King and Ellen DeGeneres and, of course, Jim Carrey. They will all tell you that the secret is the path to success in the world, to learn how to manipulate the universe with your mind. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can do it, but it will cost you your soul. And let me warn you that there is certainly another dimension out there which you have to come in contact with, and by so doing, why you risk eternity. If you have not heard the videos on They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, they're available from Radio Liberty, 3-hour, 4-hour, 10-hour versions. Our number 1-800-544-8927.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.